there is no greater name. There is only that one name that we all gather together and can say that we're His tribe. We're His people. We have a unity, a oneness in this place because we have one Lord, one Savior, one Father, one Spirit, one God who is in all, through all. By the name of Jesus. It was done. Sealed. There is no having to battle for it. It's automatically given to us. The unity of His presence within each of us brings us into unity with each other. In fact, I'd like to start off with, in the inside of your bulletin, you have a quote there from A.W. Tozer in his book, The Pursuit of God. Has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned not to each other, but to one standard to which each one must individually bow. So when 100 worshipers meet together, each one looking away to Christ, they are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be were they to become unity conscious and turn their eyes away from God to strive for closer fellowship. We have one tuning fork that makes us all one, and that tuning fork is Jesus Christ. What a beautiful name it is. Amen? I know this is something that I, as a pastor, and I'm sure the other pastors in the room would say the same thing, that it's one of the hardest things to do is to get people to feel like they're one, that they are of one family, and that they should all be caring for each other, that we should all be striving to the same faith. You know, and how do we do that? How does that possibly happen? Well, when all of us are tuned in to Christ, He's the standard. It's not any program that you can bring into the church to all of a sudden be that right frequency that everybody will all of a sudden go, oh, I finally have unity with these people. There's no program that can do that. There isn't enough Bible study that can do it. There isn't enough prayer that can do it. The only thing that can do it is if each and every one of us are truly sold out to the idea that I am going to pursue Christ. And when each and every one of us have that desire, and it's not made up, it's not a bunch of religious stuff, but rather it's just, I want to be in relationship with Him so close, so near to Him, that no matter what happens, I will go on in hope. No matter what happens, I will keep a peace about me that cannot be rocked, cannot be taken away. And no matter what happens in my life, I am going to be a cheerleader for Jesus Christ. My life is going to be a reflection of Him to everyone around me. And how can it be a reflection of somebody that you don't know? But we have been given knowledge of who Jesus was. Now, we don't get to walk around with Him like the disciples did. However, I do get to walk around with Him as I see Jesus in you. And you see Jesus in me, we get to walk with each other. in unity.
Oh, that was good.
Woo! Tribal oneness is the title of today's message. We are a tribe. Revelation 5, 9 says, and there was a gathering of worshipers from every tongue, tribe, and nation. And they were giving worship and glory and honor unto Jesus. We are one of those many tribes, but we are of one tribe. Though we may all have our own colorful little personalities, and you do, we have one leader. One leader. That does not mean that I want you to be exactly like me. No, I want you to be like Jesus. And Jesus is in form in many different ways. Amen? I want you to be the best Jesus that you can be through the empowerment of His Holy Spirit that lives in you and the Word of God that you can study to become more a part like Him. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? To love mercy. To walk humbly. To do justly. These are the things that God looks for in us. To love mercy. To do justly. To walk humbly with your God. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35 is a passage that I want us to look at this morning. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, to those who are following him. Let Jesus be speaking to you this morning as well. Jesus would say, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. How many times does Jesus say, love one another, in those two verses? How many times? Everybody can see that three times, right? You might want to underline that. Every time it says, love one another, put a line under that. You must love one another. People will know that you're his disciples if you what? Love one another. This is a command from our leader. Trump, whether you love him or not, is a leader of our country. Whether you love him or not does not matter. What matters is that we respect the office that he holds. And we pray for that person that is in that office. And right now, it's Donald Trump. Pray for the man. You want a better president? Pray for him. You may not like me as a pastor. Sad for you. I'm a really fun guy. And no, that doesn't mean I'm a mushroom. A fun guy. But you will respect the office. You will respect the office. And the person that God has in that office. That's what God would have you do. You might have some kind of personality clash with me. Well, that's okay. I'm not going to get along with everybody. I hope to. But if we are all striving to be like Christ, then guess what? all of a sudden those personality differences are going to go to the side, and we're all going to be brought into complete unity in Jesus Christ. Amen? And I won't point out your flaws, and you won't point out mine. And we'll all get along, dilly-dilly. Jesus speaks to us, and he's our commander. If a general who is over the troops gives out a command, what do the troops do? They follow it. And if they don't follow the commands, then what happens? Yeah, you're in a, George, say you're in a doghouse. Yeah, you go to jail. You get taken up on trial. Why? Because there is absolutely no questioning that general's commands. This is Jesus, our commander, speaking to us this morning. A new command I give you, love one another. So if you do not obey the command, what's going to happen? You're in the doghouse, George says. You're going to be brought to trial. And we're going to have a righteous judge that sits over us. And he's going to look at us and go, let me see. I gave you a command. Love one another. How did you carry that out? Well, you don't understand some of those people at Mountain Valley. They're kind of tough to love. No, I didn't ask you to do it within yourself. I asked you to love as I love. As I love. You see, none of us are the perfect example, right? But Jesus is the perfect example. So, number one, you have a command to obey, and that is love one another. Love one another. That's our command. Everybody should now be on the same page, and there is unity. We've all been tuned into the same tuning fork. We're all into the same frequency. I have been given my orders from my commander. Now, where the problem is if Jesus isn't your commander, because you have not made him your commander. Let me ask you, if you're serving in the service and you don't necessarily like your commander, are you still going to follow what he says? You better. You better. That's a good answer. You better. Jesus is not some commander who is just so strict and so legal that he's just going to pound on you until you conform to his image. No. He's going to let you go ahead and make your decisions not to be like him. Will he be disappointed? Yeah, he will be. He will be, but guess what? It's up to each and every one of us to follow the commands as we have heard them. Love one another. It's a command to obey. Settle it out in your heart and your mind. This is exactly what Christ wants the church to do. You know what would happen in this community? I hear you, brother. You know what would happen in this community if this was known as a church of love? That as you came and became a part of it, that we wouldn't be a bunch of people going down, look at, what's with the Hawaiian shirt? What, They're not dressed like us. They're not singing the same songs that I wanted them to sing. But what if it was just a church that as soon as you walked in the doors, you felt the welcome from people? Now, some of you may not have some family members that you get along with. But honestly, when you have a family reunion, what happens? Oh, I mean, you walk in and you don't know if it's your uncle, your aunt, but everybody's hugging on everybody else, right? Why? Because you have this common bond. You're all of the same tribe. We are of the same tribe.
Well, I don't want to be hugged. Don't be hugging on me. Y'all just keep your hugs to yourself, okay? I don't want none of that stuff. Get over yourself.
You are here to bring the love of Christ. And sometimes, as Winnie the Pooh says, sometimes people just need a hug. Amen? Because this world will beat you up. Anybody else have scars besides me? People, they'll let you down. But not your tribe. Not your tribe. You see, if the tribe is truly acting in the love of Christ, then your tribe will never let you down. Instead, as you give yourself to them, they give themselves to you. That's what I don't understand sometimes. People that just come to church and it's like, they'll stiff arm you. You know, oh, you're not getting close to me, forget it. I'm not going to let you know me. I'm just going to come here and I'm going to do my penance for the hour. I'm going to listen to a sermon, then I'm going to go out of here. You won't know anything about me, and I'll just stay my own person. That way you won't judge me, and I won't judge you. That is not what Jesus came on this earth to do. He came on this earth to create a people, and a people who would be united in following him. And he was a savior of love. Love. John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. For love, what? Is of God. And everyone who loveth is known of God. You're known of God. In other words, God looks down.
That's my kid. He's loving. He's doing exactly what I've asked him to do.
God knows you, and what? You know God. But if you don't love, what? Then you don't know God. For God is love. So keep your stiff arms to yourself. You know, some pastors refer to those kinds of people as porcupines. I won't tell you who those pastors are, Harry, but you know. But there are some people that are porcupines, and it's like as soon as you start getting close, boom, you know, the bristles go up. We're to be a tribe of love. A tribe of acceptance. Not a place where you come and you get judged. But a place where people can safely come and they can sense, they can know, they can feel the love of God. I got to be honest, if I could poll every pastor that's in this church right now, that'd be the number one thing that they would have all wished, that they would wish that they could pastor a church that was a church of love. Because if the people are truly loving each other, it's not just about the hugging. It's going to be about, I am concerned about you, and you are showing concern about me. And we're all happy family with a... Could you come up here and do that, please, babe?
I love you, you love me, we're a happy family with a great big hug and for me and you.
Jesus commands love one another. John 14:21, Jesus speaking again. And what does he say? Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. You want to have more of Jesus in you? Well, follow his commands, obey them. Because he will not only invite you to know the Father, but he'll show yourself to you as well. A command to obey, love one another. Number two, an example to follow, as I have loved you. See, Jesus never asks us to do anything that he hasn't done, or that he won't also empower us through his presence to be able to accomplish, right? As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Did Jesus care about his disciples? Did he minister to their needs? Did he know their weaknesses? Did he know their strengths? Yes, every bit of that. Can you imagine? Jesus didn't own any fancy house, the latest car,
not even a motorcycle.
He didn't have a Circle K or a grocery store to go around to, and yet these guys followed Jesus for over 3 years, and you never hear any comments in the scriptures that say, well, we were lacking food, or we were lacking rest. Because with Jesus, there is no lack. Amen? Because he feeds us. And he feeds us the truth of God's word. And we get filled up by him. My wife gave me a portion of breakfast this morning. I normally don't eat, you know, a big breakfast before I speak, you know, just try to keep my mind sharper. But I started eating, and I got to a point where it's like, I thank you, but no thank you. I can't eat anymore. And she looked at me like, what? What's the matter with you? You'd normally horse something like that right down. And I was like, no, I want to be filled up with God this morning. I want to be filled up with everything that he wants to give me. I want to do what he calls me to do. And I want to bring a message that will honor God. The word of God says, speak as if speaking the very words of God. It's ominous to stand in this pulpit and to speak. And I pray for God's guidance all the time. Lord, give me your words, not mine. Let your message, let your voice be heard, not mine. John 17, verses 20 to 23. This is Jesus' prayer in the garden. He says, my prayer is not for them alone, the disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also, those who believe in Christ, be in us, so that the world may believe you have sent me. I have given them the glory, the Holy Spirit, that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus gives us a command, love one another. He also gives us an example to follow, as I have loved you. And thirdly, he gives an identity to embrace. You are my disciples. This is an identity that you've got to embrace. You've got to get this. You are my disciples. Who's my? Jesus. You are my disciples. You are my followers. How can you follow somebody that you don't know? Kind of tough, isn't it? I mean, there's the, you know, okay, I don't know the general, but he commanded this, and so, okay, I've got to follow his orders. You know, there's that kind of blind following, blind obedience, if you will. But isn't it much better when you know that your commander really is looking out for you? And when he gives a command, hey, I'm going to give you a command today, love one another. You know, I knew you wouldn't press me to do something that I couldn't accomplish or that would bring harm to me. He doesn't ask you to question it. He asks you to embrace the command and to follow it. As I loved you, so you love others. And what's so important about us following God's command? It's underlined twice in that passage. What is it? That the world may believe. You see how important it is for us to be a tribe of love? A people who care about each other, who actually give to each other, who look out for one another, who protect each other, who come alongside when things aren't going so dilly-dilly. You know, we are there to build up and to encourage in our most holy faith that, hey, you know, all you can see is your problem. I want to tell you, you've got a God who's bigger than your problem. It's a people who are sold out for one thing, and that one thing is to obey God. And what does God command? Love one another. Sometimes love hurts. Love hurts. Wow. My old rock and roll roots just came out. Sorry. Please forgive me. Sometimes love hurts. Why? Because love is sacrificial. Amen? Sometimes my wife asked me to do something, and I'm kind of like, I had other plans, but there was something else that I was really wanting to do. Wow, okay. So, yes, darling, I'll do that for you. And as I do that, though it pains me to have to put aside the things that I might want to do to please her, it brings me greater satisfaction when I know that what she was looking for, I was able to meet her needs. I was able to accomplish that which she desired. And all of a sudden between us is this like floating, little hearts going out to each other. right? So if we see that on this level, then can you imagine what happens when you obey God and do something that you are totally uncomfortable with doing? I want you to share with that coworker about your Jesus. I need you to maybe take a dozen cookies over to that neighbor that, you know, you've kind of looked at each other and went, you know, because their dogs wake you up at 6:30 in the morning every day. There, see, there rises up within us this reluctance to follow what Jesus orders us to do. But honestly, we're supposed to be an army of love. And if there was more love, you know, Hollywood doesn't have it all wrong, you know, with all them purporting, oh, what we need is love. All we need is love. All we need is love. Yes, but what is the definition of love? God. What this world does need is more of His presence in it. If there was more of God's presence in this world, there wouldn't be as many of the troubles that we've got. If people could know that there was a place that they could come where they could know, learn about, experience the love of God, this building couldn't hold enough of them. Brother David's been getting visions from God about Mountain Valley Church. And his visions are this. So I'm putting them to foot. I'm putting some feet on them. He sees, these are visions that he's not conjuring up, but they're being given to David. He sees a flood of people coming to Mountain Valley. Unbelievers. People that know nothing about Jesus. He sees them in the vision, but what he also sees is that the church isn't ready for them. So, with that vision, folks, we need to get ready. We need to prepare. If you were in the service at all, I was in the fire service for 22 years, just celebrated my 23 years of being retired this past week. So I've actually been retired now longer than I've served. But what they would do on the fire department is they would train me. They would get me ready for circumstances that I might come across in my career, in my position as a firefighter. They would try to train me. And so some of us, though we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, some of us need to be trained up in how do you walk as Jesus walked. Some of you are like, no, I'm cool with just the salvation thing. I'm good. I know I'm getting in. Don't put any more on me, Pastor. You know what? I'm not the one putting it on you. It's God. How can you follow somebody you don't know? God says, I want to expose myself to you. I want to give you everything that I am. All my power, all of my glory, all of my mercy, all of my grace, all of my love, which the oceans of the world could not contain all of my love. So I want to pour out upon you. Will you be a vessel that's not just a shallow petri dish, but rather will you be, wow, that was pretty good. Will you be just a shallow petri dish that just gets a little splash of God's glory and love? Or are you going to be a vessel that goes, come on, fill it up. I want more of what you've got to give me. John chapter 15, verses 8 to 12. This is again Jesus speaking to us this morning. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Let's read this Tozer quote one more time. Has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned, not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. How tuned into Jesus are you? Do you know his voice when he's speaking to you? There's a lot of voices out there in this world that are trying to cause you to go this way and that way, and we run around helter-skelter, and we look all panicked and hectic. Are you listening to the voice of God? Are you giving him, you know, I love this. Well, Pastor, I pray. Okay, good. Good, because that's one of the things we are commanded to do. We're to pray, which means we're to be in communication with God. But communication with God is not just a one-way tunnel. It also has to return. And we have got to humble ourselves enough to sit down and listen to what is God saying to me today. What's God saying to you? It's great to take your laundry list of all the things that you want God to fix. That's fine. I'm not going to condemn you for that, neither is God. But God also wants you to just sit at his feet and drink in. To be honest with you, you want to do IQ tests with God? Really? Does anybody want to do an IQ test against God? You know, hey, let's compare IQs, God. You know, I'll pray things my way, and you know, and God looks at you and go, where were you when I formed the earth? When I put the expanse in the skies? Where were you? Who is this that troubles my courts? You know, our wisdom is but folly before God. So if you need wisdom for how am I supposed to act in something, what am I supposed to do? Here's the command: love. Love. Oh, but this person did this or they did that. And my command is what? Love. They really messed up. They botched everything. Yeah. Are you called to judge them or are you called to love them? Love. Please understand, nobody in this room is perfect. Nobody in this room is perfect. We all have made our mistakes. And I can guarantee you this, you're still going to make mistakes. I do. And when I do, what's my first action? To ask my wife to forgive me. No. I ask God to forgive me. He knows sometimes I'm just going to be stupid. He loves me anyway. See, never doubt God's love for you. God loves you tremendously, so much. You can't even understand how crazy in love God is with you. But he loves you just as messed up as you are. But he wants you to become more perfect in your knowledge of his Son. Yes, God loves you how you are, where you are, what you've been doing, but he wants you to continue to improve yourself, to fill yourself up with knowledge of him. Is this church going to be ready if God decides to flood this place with unbelievers? You're the church. Are you ready to disciple and to mentor others into a relationship with Jesus Christ? If not, why not? Why aren't you growing in your knowledge? Why aren't you availing yourself to being mentored, to being taught? And that doesn't mean just showing up on Sunday morning for an hour. It means being part of a relational group of people that calls himself a tribe of Mountain Valley Church of God. It's just a name we put out here. We are the family of God. We are the tribe of Jesus Christ. That's who we really are. We're people that are striving our best to get to know him and to get to follow what he commands us to do. People outside are going to know us by our love. By our love. You see, that's one of the things that we don't have too many of those expressions in our community yet. We don't have a lot of evangelism going out of here. The people are not of our community are really not experiencing the love of Mountain Valley Church. But you know what? First of all, let's get grounded in love. And then we can example it in our community. We're going to sing this song, By Our Love. A new command I've given you, an example to follow, a call to be a people who are followers of me. Will you join him in the work today?